Sporty Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to a special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The United States is topping the medals table at the start of Wednesday's fifth full day of action at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. The USA has 27 medals, including 10 gold. China is next with 17 medals, including 8 gold. And Japan is third with 14 medals, including 3 gold. Olympic swimming superstar Michael Phelps won 2 more gold medals for the USA on Tuesday night in the men's 200-meter butterfly and the 4x200-meter freestyle team relay event. Phelps now has an incredible 21 career Olympic gold medals and 25 Olympic medals overall. Just to put that in Olympic historical perspective, the next 4 Olympians closest to Phelps in terms of career gold medals have 9 each. They are Americans Mark Spitz in swimming and Carl Lewis in athletics, Paavo Nurmi of Finland in athletics, and former Soviet gymnast Larissa Latinina in gymnastics. So do the count, VOA Olympic fans. Michael Phelps has more than doubled their totals for career gold medals. Meanwhile, another American swimming star, Katie Ledecky, won her 2nd gold medal at the Rio Games Tuesday night in the women's 200-meter freestyle, and Ledecky is expected to win 2 more gold medals before she leaves Rio. The USA won another gold medal Tuesday night in women's team gymnastics, finishing more than 8 points ahead of 2nd place Russia. In women's tennis, though, American star Serena Williams is out of the Rio Olympics, losing in the 3rd round of singles to Elena Svitolina of Ukraine, 6-4 and 6-3. Defending Olympic champion Serena made 37 unforced errors, and after winning gold in singles and doubles at the 2012 London Games, Serena heads home after a very disappointing Rio 2016. She and her older sister Venus lost in the 1st round of women's doubles. It was the first defeat for the Williams sisters after going 15-0 with 3 Olympic gold medals. One of the Olympic fans cheering on Team USA is President Barack Obama, who is currently on family vacation in the state of Massachusetts. Before leaving Washington, President Obama talked about the diversity on the 2016 U.S. Olympic team.
Our athletes hail from 46 states, D.C., and the Virgin Islands. Our team boasts the most women who have ever competed for any nation at any Olympic Games. It includes active duty members of our military and our veterans. We've got basketball players who stand nearly 7 feet tall and a gymnast who's 4'8". And Team USA spans generations. A few athletes who are almost as old as I am, and one born just a year before my younger daughter. Our roster includes a gymnast from Texas who's so trailblazing, they named a flip after her. A young woman who persevered through a tough childhood in Flint, Michigan to become the first American woman to win gold in the boxing ring. And a fencing champion from suburban Jersey who will become the first American Olympian to wear a hijab while competing. And on our Paralympic team, we're honored to be represented by a Navy veteran who lost his sight while serving in Afghanistan and continues to show us what courage looks like every time he jumps in the pool. To all of our Olympic and Paralympic athletes wearing the red, white, and blue, know that your country couldn't be prouder of you. We admire all the work you've done to get to Rio and everything you'll do there. Thank you for showing the world the best of America. And know that when you get up on that podium, we'll be singing the national anthem and maybe even shedding a tear right alongside you. Now go bring home the gold.
President Obama urging Team USA to get to the top of the medals podium at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Joining us now from Rio is our friend Luis Piazzet, and Luis has special salutes to American Michael Phelps, as well as a Brazilian Olympic Games volunteer. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Michael Phelps holds his position as the greatest of all time. His own words describe the truth, and I quote, "That's a lot of medals. It's just insane. It's mind-blowing. 25 medals, 21 gold. Will Phelps equal numbers of medals to his age, 31? Brazil, the host country, is still fighting to accomplish its ambitious dream to be among the top 10. So far, only 2 medals, 1 bronze for shooting, 1 gold in judo. Both athletes' medalists are military, and again, taking a stock of that performance, 1/3 of the Olympic Brazilian athletes are military. Another angle where to assess from is that although there is in place a Ministry of Sport in Brazil, so supported by the federal government, there is no a long-standing formal support and structure in the school and college level, so no baseline where to grow from. There are only 3 private clubs in the whole country dedicated to Olympic sports, one in Deep South, the Rio Grande do Sul, one in São Paulo, and one in Rio. Even the once-upon-a-time popular soccer has been in declining cycle, exporting its player to Europe and elsewhere. The question is, will the Olympic improve this scenario? The ongoings of the Olympic Games so far, also taking a stock, is that comparing to other chapters of the IOC franchise, Rio is breaking records of problems, from fault of food, water quality, security, although minor so far, luckily, and mobility. Even the volunteers, with free pass to subway and other public transportation, are arriving late to work. I spoke yesterday with several volunteers in 3 different sport and public Olympic venues. The situation is rather devastated. Most of volunteers came to Rio from other states on their own, expenses and staying. Even the ones from Rio, most of them are from faraway suburbs. They have been scheduled to work 10 to 18 hours per day, standing in the open and smiling. All they get for free is a credential, limited to certain place, and a single meal, 1 dish of food per day. And here goes another sunny side of sports gold medal.
Hello, my name is Rosiane Lara. I'm a volunteer at the Olympic Games. Thanks a lot for the sunny side of sport gold medal. Brazilian hugs, Sunny Young. Woohoo! Thank you.
Official numbers of volunteers are around 50,000, 20% foreigners. They work for free for a multi-billionaire enterprise. They are showing strong signs of tiredness, and they are gradually quitting the job, taking home their uniforms as a lifetime souvenirs. I'm Luis Piazzi for the Sunny Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
In more Olympic news, Africa's newest country, South Sudan, has sent 3 athletes to Rio de Janeiro. Picking up the story, here's Ian Bior.
The coach for South Sudan's 3 athletes, Joseph Ramadan, says he has been preparing Olympic runners Gwar Mading Makair, Margaret Rumat, and Santino Kenyi for months. Ramadan says he is bursting with pride for South Sudan's athletes.
I'm very proud because this is our first time to join the Olympics. This is our first time in South Sudan because South Sudan is still a new young nation. And we are very proud of that. We are now waiting for the day for our competition.
Getting to the Olympics has been an uphill battle. In an earlier interview with VOA last year, Mading said the South Sudanese runners who trained with him in Kenya struggle to buy proper training equipment, like shoes and uniforms. He says they also struggle to get proper meals to maintain their strength and energy while they ran over 10 miles on training days. Despite the challenges, 16-year-old Santino Kenyi, a 1,500-meter runner, says he is determined to leave a legacy at the Olympics.
I think the old generation, the new generation who is coming behind us, I think they will follow us because of our first Olympian going to participate in Olympics, and it is also our first time to participate in Olympics also.
Kenyi says he has been planning for the Olympics since he saw fellow teammate Gwar Mading run at the Olympics in London in 2012. He says Mading's determination inspired him to train for this year's Summer Games.
We are also very glad that for the first time we raised the flag of South Sudan, and at the same time, we had also the first Olympian in South Sudan. So we are very happy, really, and we knew our generation, our new generation, will do something in the future of South Sudan.
Coach Ramadan says the main advice that he gives his athletes is to remember that they are just like any other athlete on the field. He says there should be no doubt that his athletes will deliver.
We are ready to compete. Why not? Because we are still a new nation. We are ready to compete. Everybody here, the South Sudanese are there in the country are waiting for us. When we came from there, we promised them we were going to make a new record in South Sudan.
Margaret Rumat Rumar Hassan will run the 200-meter race on the 15th. Santino Kenyi competes the following day in the 1,500-meter race. And Gwar Mading Makare will run the marathon on the 21st. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Ayan Bior.
Golf is making its return to the Olympics this week after a 112-year absence. VOA's Park Brewer checked out the new course where both the men and women will compete in Rio.
The golf course is called Reserva di Marapindi, and it was built on sandy and swampy land within a coastal nature preserve in Barra, a western suburb of Rio. As such, there are a variety of animals that wander nearby, sometimes even onto the course, especially at night, says American Bob Condren, the golf venue media director.
She's incredible. Capybaras, nobody has heard of. They're kind of like a big beaver, a big mouse. Birds, owls, alligators. You know, it's like a zoo out here, and it's very pleasing to look at. It's a course that's just a jewel.
Australian golfer Marcus Fraser is from Melbourne and shared his thoughts on the course with VOA.
Very similar to what we have in on the Sandbelt, and you know, the Sandbelt's probably regarded as some of the best golf courses in the world. I think the course sets up to everyone. I think it gives everyone a chance, and there's a lot of variety there, which I think is fantastic.
The men's field is not as strong as many had hoped, with 20 players deciding to skip the Olympics over health concerns and other personal issues, including the world's top four-ranked players. Condren told VOA he knows many of them personally and thinks they may end up regretting their decision.
Those guys that aren't here are going to miss something great. And I think they're going to think about this in 2 years and say, I wish I could have gone and fought the country, fought for the gold medal.
Jonah Haskell joins us now with an update on the men's and women's Olympic football tournaments. Sporty Olympic greetings, Jonah.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. The group stages of the Olympic women's soccer tournament are over after the final flurry of games on Tuesday. The U.S. women, who are the heavy gold medal favorites, took on Colombia in their final group game and were only able to come away with a 2-2 draw after a late comeback by Las Cafeteras. Colombia actually jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the 26th minute when Catalina Uzme's free kick skipped past the wall and slipped through U.S. goalkeeper Hope Solo's hands. But the Americans were quick to respond when, in the 41st minute, Carly Lloyd's shot was saved before rebounding off the crossbar and right into the path of Olympic rookie Crystal Dunn, who poked the ball past the Colombian keeper to tie the game at 1. In the second half, the U.S. took the lead when 18-year-old Mallory Pugh scored her first Olympic goal 15 minutes after halftime, and it seemed that they would hold on to that 2-1 lead until the 90th minute when Colombia won a free kick near the corner flag. Despite the tight angle, Uzme once again went for the shot, which sailed over Hope Solo and into the net to tie the game just before the final whistle. The Americans are no doubt disappointed by the result, but they still won their group after winning their first two games. In the five other games from Tuesday, France destroyed New Zealand 3-0 to secure their advancement and to end the Kiwis' Olympic run, while Canada beat powerhouse Germany to become the only team to win all three of their group stage matches. Finally, Australia rolled over Zimbabwe 6-1, South Africa played Brazil to a 0-0 draw, and China and Sweden were unable to score on each other as they drew 0-0 as well. With all the games wrapped up, we now know which teams will advance to the knockout stages. And in the Olympic tournament, the top two teams from each of the three groups gets to move forward, as well as the best two third-place teams. So in Rio this year, the host Brazil win Group E with 7 points, with China claiming second place with 4, and Sweden, who also had 4 points but lost out to China on goal differential, also advances as one of the best third-place teams. In Group F, the undefeated Canadians won, and Germany and Australia move on as well, posting 4 points each, with Germany owning the better goal differential. And finally, in Group G, the United States' 7 points were enough to win, as the French came in a close second with six. South Africa, Zimbabwe, New Zealand, and Colombia have been eliminated. So now the quarterfinals for the women's tournament will begin on Friday when Brazil faces Australia, the U.S. takes on Sweden, Germany plays China, and Canada seeks to remain undefeated against France. On the men's side, there's still one more game in the group stage for each team to play, but Nigeria in Group B has already secured its advancement with its wins in its first two games over Japan and Sweden. Portugal has also already advanced out of Group D with wins over Argentina and Honduras, while Fiji and Algeria have already been eliminated. The rest of the teams all have a chance to reach the knockout stages in their final group match on Wednesday if it goes well. In Group A, host Brazil and Neymar look for a big win over Denmark, while Iraq and South Africa will play for a chance to shock everyone in advance. In Group B, Nigeria faces Colombia, and Japan will take on Sweden, while in Group C, Germany needs a big win over Fiji, while South Africa plays Mexico. Finally, in Group D, Algeria and Portugal will play a meaningless game, while Honduras and Argentina will battle for a spot in the quarters. The men's quarterfinals begin on Saturday, August 13th.
Thanks, Jonah. Jonah Haskell with that Olympic football report. And at this point, let me welcome our Facebook Live friends back to Studio 22, Sonny Young, live and in person, right here in sporty Studio 22. We're donned with Olympic flags, and we're just brimming over with that Olympic spirit. Let me introduce Jonah Haskell. We just heard an Olympic football report from Jonah. Say hi, Jonah.
How's it going, everyone?
And last, but certainly not least, Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty Olympic greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny, and sporty Olympic greetings to everybody watching on Facebook.
Andrew, I know there's lots trending in Rio. How about an update for our VOA listeners and viewers?
Oh, gosh, where do we begin? Well, we'll start with the Olympian, Michael Phelps, of course, picking up his 24th and 25th medals last night in the competition and having his own. We talked about the finger wag heard around the world yesterday. Well, he had his own little finger wag for Leclos, who was his South African competitor, who bested him in London in that event in the 200 butterfly. I saw, must have been at least 24 tweets, and that, you know, there was one person who was kind of retweeting all the people who said Leclos but no cigar. So there was one Twitter account who was compiling all of those tweets where all the people were making that same pun at Leclos's expense that Phelps beat him. But Michael Phelps getting a lot of social media attention because of a moment after the race during the U.S. national anthem, which was playing because he had won the gold medal. He started laughing at one point, and everybody was saying, what's going on? Why is he laughing? Is this disrespectful? What's happening? And if you watch the video, the point at which he starts laughing is towards the end of the national anthem, when they say, "Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave?" And you see when they say, "Oh, say," he looks over in the crowd and starts laughing. Well, our listeners might not know this, but it's kind of a local D.C. and Baltimore tradition at the Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles. During the national anthem, they say, "Oh," and they scream that out because the Orioles are known as the O's. Michael Phelps is from Baltimore, so he had a lot of friends who are from Baltimore in the stands cheering him on. So when they got to that point in the anthem, they said, "Oh," and screamed it out, and he turned and started laughing. So he explained that moment. But you can actually watch the video on social media. As soon as I saw that video being, from the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area for the past decade living here, I knew what that was immediately. I said, that's what it was because of the Baltimore Orioles fans in the audience.
Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky, she won gold on Tuesday night. The two biggest American Olympic swimming stars, and they've got Washington, D.C. ties. Bethesda's golden girl, Katie Ledecky, she's going to win probably a couple more gold medals before she leaves Rio. She lives right outside of D.C. in Bethesda, Maryland. And as Andrew mentioned, Michael Phelps, the flying fish from Baltimore, Maryland. I encourage our Voice of America listeners and viewers to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook and Twitter pages. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you check out my Facebook page, you might see a pretty colorful photo of the Jamaican Olympic star Usain Bolt dancing the samba with some very lovely Brazilian women. And we have some Brazilian drummers in the background. And the quote from Rick Mays in the Washington Post newspaper, "Rest assured, where Usain Bolt goes, a party always follows." And I think that's true, especially with his lightning bolt pose, Andrew.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that.
Andrew, what else is trending in Rio?
So the other name you mentioned, the golden girl, Katie Ledecky, she is trending as well. And again, it's not necessarily because of her accomplishments in the pool, though already she's won 2 gold medals at this Olympics, 3 overall. On social media, there are 2 photos that are trending, kind of gone viral. One is a young Katie Ledecky. She's about 9 years old. And who is she standing with? She's standing with Michael Phelps at an autograph session that was, I guess, held at a pool or something. And so there's this viral photo of young Katie Ledecky meeting her idol, Michael Phelps. And now she's at the same Olympics as Michael Phelps, winning gold medals as Michael Phelps is. So it's really a cool moment that she has achieved her dreams and been able to do that. And the other photo is a younger Katie Ledecky, when maybe she was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And she's being held by the great Michael Jordan. And the caption on that photo says, "One of these people has 2 Olympic gold medals, and the other is Katie Ledecky." So it's a nice joke that people are sharing around. Of course, so, you know, Michael Jordan won 2 basketball gold. Katie Ledecky now with these 2 golds at the Rio Olympics and her gold in London has 3 gold medals, besting one of her idols.
Katie Ledecky rubbing elbows with some sporting greats. And I think, Andrew, by the time she leaves Rio, there'll be some other sports stars wanting to get a selfie with Katie Ledecky.
Well, that was what we saw last night. A lot of the current Team USA men's basketball players were taking some selfies at the swimming events. They were there in force to cheer on Katie Ledecky and Michael Phelps, and it was really a nice moment to see them cheer on their fellow Americans.
And let's bring in Jonah Haskell into the conversation. Nigeria's dream team into the quarterfinals of the Olympic men's football tournament. How about a shout-out for those Nigerian boys, Jonah? Can they win another gold medal 20 years after Atlanta 96?
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. None of the other teams so far have looked really good, especially Brazil. People thought they might be really good. They've got Neymar. They're playing at home. But they've drawn a couple games. They have yet to win. So I would look for a surprise dark horse team like Nigeria to possibly, you know, catch a wave and ride it all the way to the gold.
I like that. Catch a wave at maybe Copacabana Beach.
From Copacabana all the way to that metal platform. Absolutely.
Andrew, what else is trending in Rio?
So we have hashtag Final Five, of course, the U.S. women's gymnastic team taking the gold yesterday in the team competition. And they named themselves the Final Five. We had, you know, in previous years, Magnificent Seven and all the other teams that have these names. Well, they're the Final Five for a couple of reasons. One is that their coach, Marta Caroli, this is her last Olympics. She's retiring. So it's a final Olympics for her. But also, this is the final Olympics. The Olympic women's gymnast teams are going to have 5 competitors. Next Olympics, it's only going to be 4 that are allowed. So it really is the Final Five. Doesn't mean they're done winning gold medals. At this rate, looks like they're going to be winning for years to come. But it's the last time they'll win with 5 people on the team. Now, the women winning that gold was a bit of controversy here in the U.S. because NBC, the network that's airing the Olympics, actually put out Instagram posts and tweets saying, "Women win the gold." The problem was this was at about 5 p.m. yesterday, East Coast time, right after the event had ended. Mm. But NBC hadn't aired it on TV yet. So a lot of people were very upset, a lot of angry comments saying, "I was looking forward to watching this tonight on the tape delay to see who would win in the suspense, and you kind of ruined it for me." So they're catching a lot of flack for that, and it set off this debate. Is there an expectation in the age of social media that there are a spoiler-free Olympics? And that's something that a lot of people are kicking around, a lot of people unhappy that they didn't get to watch it and be surprised. But everybody's pretty happy that they won the gold.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks also to Jonah Haskell, contributing to the show tonight. Thanks again to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori, VOA producer and videographer Bill Werkinger. And one more thanks, obrigado to my buddy, VOA engineer Sidrack Franklin. And obrigado to all our Voice of America listeners tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Last year was the hottest year on record. This is partly due to an exceptionally strong El Niño and partly because of global warming resulting from human activity. El Niño departed in early June, but the heat continues, and the resulting drought has left nearly 100 million people around the globe facing a bleak and hungry future. Some of the hardest hit regions are in southern Africa. Around 18 million people there are expected to suffer crisis food insecurity, meaning a crisis has resulted in hunger and diminished nutrition. This and other impacts on livestock, water access, and treatment for those living with HIV will last well into 2017. This drought is having a devastating impact on the southern Africa region, and we know things could get even worse, said Rebecca Sutton of Oxfam, an international confederation of charitable organizations that work toward ending global poverty. People are struggling now. They have watched their crops wither and their animals starve to death. Even in the best-case scenario, the next major harvest is not expected until early next year. The Southern Africa Development Community has launched an emergency appeal for $2.4 billion to help those most severely hit by the drought and protect development gains. The Regional Interagency Standing Committee has released an action plan targeted at the seven most affected countries: Angola, Lesotho, Madagascar, Malawi, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Zimbabwe, which requires $1.2 billion in funding. In response, the United States announced an additional $127 million to this effort, bringing the total the United States has provided to the region to over $300 million in humanitarian aid. This includes emergency food assistance, nutrition and health support, access to safe drinking water, and seeds. The funding will be delivered through the United Nations and our NGO partners. Based on early warning and careful tracking of the progression of El Niño, the United States mobilized an integrated response earlier this year to ensure El Niño's impacts do not negate progress we've already made in reducing hunger and poverty. We have also adjusted development investments to lessen the drought's impact, speed recovery, and to help build resilience in southern Africa. The United States applauds the many fellow donors who have contributed to the Southern Africa drought response and encourages others to join this international effort. Mobilizing a robust and coordinated global response will be critical to protect the region's gains against chronic hunger and poverty and to ensure early recovery.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali and his guests discuss Zambia's general election set for August 11th. The office of the president and seats in the National Assembly are being contested. A constitutional referendum will be held with proposals to amend the nation's Bill of Rights. That's next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Tune in at 200 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.